I have this morning one of the most important subjects that I have used since I've been on this television program. I'm going to do more teaching today than preaching, but I believe, after all, good preaching is teaching. The Scripture talks about Christ has left in the church prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. The pastor is to be a teacher. And if we're not teaching men, we're certainly not preaching much. And so I want you to take your Bibles and open them this morning to the book of Hebrews. First of all, Hebrews 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Now here's my subject. We have a great high priest. We have a great high priest. Here in Hebrews 4, verse 14 and 16, listen to what the apostle says. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Now look at verse 16. Seeing that we have a great high priest, let us, sinners, guilty sons of Adam, let us come boldly, confidently, unto the throne of grace, into the very presence of God, into the very presence of the Most High, majestic, holy, living God. Let us come boldly, confidently, into the presence of God, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, there's another scripture in Hebrews 10. If you look at verse 21 and 22, it says this, and having an high priest. You see, it's almost the same wording as Hebrews 4:14. Seeing we have a great high priest. And in chapter 10, verse 21, Paul says, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us, guilty sinners, let us draw near into the presence of God in full assurance of faith. Let us draw near. Now, when I read scriptures like these, I get two pictures in my mind that help me to understand what these scriptures are teaching. And the first picture is when Israel, the people of God, stood before Mount Sinai. And here Moses gave them, in the words that God spoke, the law of God. It says he gave them the words of God, and when the people heard the words of the Lord God, what was their reaction? Well, listen to it. It's found over there in the book of Exodus, chapter 20. It says, the people stood before the mountain, and they saw the thunderings and the lightnings. They saw the mountain smoking, and the noise of the trumpet. And the word of God says, when they saw it, they moved back. They removed away from the presence of God. And they stood afar off. And they said to Moses, Moses, speak to us, and we will hear. But let not God speak to us, lest we die. In other words, when they saw the absolute, immaculate, infinite, unchangeable holiness of God, the holiness of God, the power and majesty and great glory of God, instead of rushing forward, instead of rushing familiarly into the presence of God, they just backed up. They just removed themselves away from that mountain and away from the presence of God, filled with fear. And they turned to Moses and they said, Moses, be a mediator for us. Don't let God deal directly with us. And we will not attempt to deal directly with God. But you go to God and speak for us and come to us and speak for God. Now here's the second picture that I get in my mind. When I read this scripture, we have, talking about us today, we have a high priest, and because we have a high priest, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who has gone into the heavens, into the presence of God, we have the privilege to come boldly into God's presence. The second picture I get is this. Israel was in the wilderness, and God came to Moses and gave him specific instructions and design about building a tabernacle. He told him to build a courtyard and surround that courtyard with a fence, a white linen fence, 8 feet high. And then inside that courtyard to build a tabernacle. The tabernacle was to be 15 feet wide and 45 feet long and 15 feet high. Now, out here at the eastern gate, as you enter into the wall of white linen, which represents the righteousness and holiness of God, the people were to stay out. No one was to come in that courtyard but the priest. The priest who went about the duties of sacrifice and the high priest. But as you came into that courtyard at the eastern gate, there was an altar where a lamb was slain. And then as you proceeded toward the tabernacle, there was a laver of water where the priest would wash his hands and wash his feet. And then he would go inside, and just inside that tabernacle was a place called the holy place. And in that holy place were three pieces of furniture. On one side was the table of showbread. On the other side was the candlesticks, which is Christ, the light of the world, and the bread is Christ, the bread of life. And then as you proceed forward, there's a huge veil, 4 or 5 inches thick, from the top to the bottom, from one wall to the other. There's no door in the veil. There's no opening in the veil. It's all the way from the top of the tabernacle to the floor and from one side to the other. And right in front of that veil was an altar of incense. And on this altar of incense, the priest were to keep the incense burning 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. That represents the prayers of Christ, the intercession of Christ for his people. But inside that veil was a place called the Holy of Holies. That's where God dwelt, or the symbol of God's presence. God dwelt in the Holy of Holies. He revealed his presence in that place. No one was ever allowed in that place, in the Holy of Holies. No one, not the priest, not the prophets, not anyone, not the king, none of the people, they were not allowed in that Holy of Holies. In that Holy of Holies was an Ark of the Covenant. It was a small box, 2.5 feet long and about 2 feet wide and so deep. And inside that Ark of the Covenant were the tables of stone which God gave to Moses, the law, or the Ten Commandments. Also in that Ark of the Covenant was Aaron's rod that budded, and also a small cup or bowl of the manna that God gave to feed the Israelites. And over the top of that Ark of the Covenant was a mercy seat of solid gold. And over that mercy seat were two cherubims. They faced one another. And in the middle of those cherubims, the Shekinah, the holy, the infinite glory of God was revealed. Now this is this cubicle here, 15 feet wide, 15 high, and 15 long, was called the Holy of Holies. No one was ever allowed in there. Once a year, only once a year, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest, only the high priest, no one else, was allowed to come under that veil with a censer burning the incense, which represents the prayers of Christ. The smoke filled that place as the incense would burn. And he would bring the blood that had been shed from the lamb once a year, called the Day of Atonement. And he would come under that veil into that holy, awesome, fearful Holy of Holies. And he would walk up to that mercy seat one time a year. And he would pour that blood on the mercy seat. It would cover the broken law. Now that's how the atonement was made. It was a typical atonement. It was an atonement which was pictured. It was a picture of Christ's atonement. But this high priest represented the people and himself. And the blood was shed for their sins and for his sin. And that blood was offered typically every year. Now then, we have a high priest. God taught Israel exactly what he's teaching us today. It's the same thing. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And here at Sinai, when he revealed his awesome, fearful, majestic, holy presence, and the people backed away. And here in the tabernacle in the wilderness, when God revealed his holy, awesome, fearful presence, his righteous presence, he revealed unto them that no son of Adam can approach a living God without a suitable priest and a suitable sacrifice. Never, never, never. And God taught Israel some things that you and I need to come to grips with, and that right soon. Because God is the same. He changes not, nor does his way of grace ever change. Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying from the Scriptures that the Lord God is eternally, unchangeably, infinitely holy. The absolute living God, listen to me, understand what I'm saying, is unapproachable by human flesh, unapproachable by sons of Adam. Now, that's just so. As Martin Luther said, I want nothing to do with Elohim. I want nothing to do with an absolute God, and neither do you. And Israel realized this, and God taught them this in the wilderness. You want nothing to do with an absolute God. You want nothing to do as a guilty sinner from the sole of your feet to the top of your heads, nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, with a deceitful heart, with a guilty spirit. You want nothing to do with that awesome presence of a holy God. He's the same. He hasn't changed. The next thing God taught them was this. Any man who approaches God, who seeks to have any communion with the Most High, righteous, holy God, must come to him through a suitable mediator, through a suitable high priest who has in his hands a suitable sacrifice. Now, today's familiarity with the living God is unknown and unheard of in the Scripture. We have an example of a man who tried to do what men are trying to do today. His name was Uzziah. He was a notable, famous, and mighty king of Israel. Uzziah, he'd reigned over Israel for some time. The Scripture says his heart was lifted up with pride. You'll find this in 2 Chronicles 26, beginning with verse 16 through verse 20. This man, King Uzziah, his heart was lifted up with pride. And he went down to the temple, which was built just like the tabernacle. When the temporary tabernacle was done away with and Israel built the temple, the permanent temple, the same sacrifices, the same ceremonies, the same feast days, the same day of atonement, the same thing was conducted. You remember it said when Christ died, the veil in the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom? That's the veil that is spoken of right here that I was talking about a moment ago, the veil that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. And Uzziah went down to the temple, and he took the censer and put incense on it and was going into the Holy of Holies. And the priest stopped him. Ahaziah, the priest, stopped him. And there were 80 priests in that courtyard and around that temple. And they said to Uzziah, don't go into the Holy of Holies. It appertaineth not to thee. We know you're a king. We know you're a mighty man. We know you're a man of influence. We know you're a man of pride. But no son of Adam approaches the living God except a suitable priest with a suitable sacrifice. Even the priest wouldn't go into the Holy of Holies without the blood, without the blood, without the atonement, without the suitable sacrifice. And when he did go in once a year, he was representing the people to God. He was a type of Christ. And this king, he got angry with the priest. King Uzziah got angry with them. He said, step aside. And he walked into the Holy of Holies. And the priest watched him. And the leprosy started in his forehead and came all the way down his face. And standing right in front of them, he became a snow-white leper. And the priest took him and cast him out of the temple. And he was separated from the people. And the Scripture says, God smote him and God cut him off. He was cut off and his son reigned in his stead. Now, I'm saying this to you, and I want to be understood loud and clear. If you ever learn anything, you learn this and learn it well. God is holy. God is unapproachable by any son of Adam or by any mass of putrid, fallen flesh. You cannot in your flesh, I don't care how sincere, I don't care how great, I don't care how moral, I don't care how ignorant, it doesn't matter what day or what generation, the presence of God is not open. Whatever a preacher says to you, it is not open to a son of Adam apart from one thing, and that is that he's represented by a suitable priest, a God-ordained priest, a high priest, a great high priest who has in his hand a sacrifice that God's ordained, that God has instituted, and with which God will be pleased. Now, let me show you that in the New Testament. In 1 Timothy 2:5, the Scripture says there's one God, one living Lord, one sovereign, majestic Redeemer, one almighty, eternal King of kings and Lord, one God, three persons, but one God. And there is one mediator between God and men, one mediator, and that's Christ Jesus. Now, that's clear as a bell, one mediator. It's not Aaron. He was a type. It's not a man here on this earth. It's not the Pope in Rome. It's not Mary. There's one mediator between God and men, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. Now, let me read you what the Master said in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You're not welcomed. You're not invited to come into the presence of God except through a mediator. And that mediator has been designated. He's been ordained. He's been appointed. He's been sent. He's been commissioned by God Himself. And that's Jesus Christ. Now, that makes my text clearer, doesn't it? Let me read it again. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. We, 1982, we have a great high priest who has passed into the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let us then come boldly. We can come as Uzziah attempted to come, but he attempted to act as the priest himself. He attempted to bring his sacrifice himself. He attempted to burn incense himself. And God smote him. God cut him off. God cast him out. No man can look on God and live. The flesh cannot come into God's presence. We have a high priest. Hebrews 10 says, and having a high priest over the house of God, Jesus Christ, then let us draw near. Let us, you, me. That's why the gospel's good news. That's why what I'm preaching to you, it's the way of life. It's the way of mercy. It's the way to God. It's the way into the Holy of Holies. That's why it's good news. Let me tell you a few things about our great high priest. If you'll study the whole book of Hebrews, this is what Hebrews is all about. Hebrews gives you the gospel in type and the fulfillment of all those types by Christ. It certainly does. And here in Hebrews 3, verse 1, here, listen to what Paul said. Consider, wherefore, holy brethren, consider, think, meditate upon. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, of our profession, who is none other than Christ Jesus. And our great high priest is greater than the prophets. It says in Hebrews 1, verse 1, God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake to our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us. God speaks to us, but not directly. We don't speak to God directly. God does not speak to, nor will He be spoken to, by any fallen son of Adam. The way's not open to you. You can't come before God, not without a mediator, not without a high priest. God has spoken to us. He spoke through the prophets. He spoke through the priest in those olden days. He has spoken to us by His Son. Christ is our mediator. And Christ Jesus, let me tell you who He is. He's the heir of all things. That's these next verses in Hebrews 1. By whom God made the worlds. You see, Paul is telling us to consider our high priest. It's not Aaron. It's not the sons of Levi. It's one greater than the prophets and greater than the priest. You see, our high priest is the one by whom He made the worlds. Jesus Christ is the brightness of His glory. He is the express image of His person. By whom He sustains and preserves all things, who upholdeth all things by the word of His power. And He is seated at the right hand of God. He's greater than the prophets and the priests. He's greater than the angels. Hebrews 1:4 says, being so much better than the angels. To which of the angels said He at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? But rather He said, let all of His angels worship Him. They're His angels. He was from the beginning, anointed above His fellows, and His throne is forever, and He's greater than Moses. Hebrews 3:3 says, this man, Jesus Christ, is counted worthy of more glory than Moses. Who is He? He's Emmanuel, God with us. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, of our faith, our mediator, our way into the presence of God is through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now watch this secondly. Consider who He is. He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. He's God's only begotten, well-beloved Son. Who ordained Him to be the high priest? Who ordained Him? Now listen to Hebrews 5:1. Listen to this. Every high priest is taken from among men, and our Lord was. He became a man. He was born of a virgin. He lived on this earth. Bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh. He was taken from among men and ordained to offer sacrifice for sin. But listen, but no man takes this honor on himself. Aaron didn't volunteer for this priesthood. The sons of Levi didn't volunteer for this task. No man takes this honor upon himself, but he who is appointed of God. He who is chosen of God. So also, now listen to this, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. He said unto him, Thou art a priest forever. We've got on this earth today self-made priests. We've got church-made priests. But let me tell you something. Our great high priest is God-appointed and God-chosen. He said, This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He said, This is my Son, hear ye him. To the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever. So who is our high priest? He's the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Who appointed him? The Father himself. The one who said unto him, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. He said unto him, Thou art a priest forever. Now here's the third thing. Consider his unchanging priest. How long has he been a priest? How long will he be a priest? Now listen. Hebrews 5:6 says this, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. You meet this name Melchizedek several times in the Bible. Take your concordance and look it up. It's there several times. In fact, in Hebrews, three times, God said of Christ, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Who was Melchizedek? Who was Melchizedek? Well, Abraham in Hebrews chapter 7. Abraham was returning from the slaughter of the kings. And it said that the high priest of God met him, to whom he paid tithes. And I want you to listen how this high priest of God is identified and how he's described. His name is Melchizedek. And the scripture says that he is the priest of the Most High God. He is the king of Salem. He is the king of righteousness. He is without mother. He is without father. He is without pedigree. He has neither beginning of days nor end of life. He abideth a priest forever. He blessed Abraham. He gave him bread and wine. Who was this Melchizedek? My friends, none other than the Son of God himself, our great high priest. And it says of him, he has an unchanging priesthood. Every time that high priest of old went into the Holy of Holies, he was representing the one who was already his priest. Already. These were types and pictures of Christ till he comes. But just as he has an eternal suretyship, just as he was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world, just as he is our Passover in Egypt, just as he is that rock in the wilderness, just as he is that brazen serpent, he is the eternal high priest of all God's children, of all generations, of all ages. We no longer have Aaron and the sons of Levi. We no longer have a human on earth priest to go through these ceremonies because Christ has fulfilled it all. They had that till he come. After he came, there's no need for those anymore. We come directly to the throne of grace because our priest is at the throne of grace. He's seated at the right hand of the throne of grace. You see, all of the Old Testament priests stood only as types and pictures of Christ. Their sacrifices were but pictures. They could never take away sin. Listen to Hebrews 10:11. And every priest stands daily, offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. Now, if you had any idea in your mind in the past that when Aaron offered this sacrifice or the sons of Levi, that it put away Israel's sins, erase it right now. The blood of bulls and goats cannot put away sin. The Bible tells us that plainly. Can never take away sin. But this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now watch this. The Old Testament priests were many. There were thousands of them. They lived a while and died, and lived a while and died, and lived a while and died. You see that? They changed priests all the time. Christ is one priest. He lives forever. These Old Testament priests were only men. Christ is the God-man. Perfect God, very God of very God, but perfect man. These Old Testament priests offered many sacrifices. Christ won. These Old Testament priests offered animal blood, Christ his own blood. These Old Testament priests offered sacrifices for themselves because they were sinners, and for the people, Christ had no sin. Their sacrifices could never take away sin. They repeated them over and over again. If they could take away sin, they'd have ceased to have been offered. Because sin, once being purged, is no longer in need of a sacrifice. That's the reason we don't offer sacrifices. Our sins are purged. They're put away. Christ has paid the debt, all of it. They always stood. They stood daily. They never sat down. Their work was never finished. Christ did his work and sat down, finished his work. They appeared in an earthly tabernacle. That brings me to this. Where is his place of ministry? In heaven itself. Listen to the scripture. Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which is a figure of the true, a picture of the true, but into heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God for us as our representative, as our mediator, as our high priest. Listen to Hebrews 4:14. We have a priest who has passed into the heavens. Hebrews 10:12. This man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God. My friends, our great high priest appeared in the presence of God for us. He appeared on the earth to take away our sin. Now he appears in the presence of God as our mediator. He has offered that one sacrifice. That atonement has been made. The debt has been paid. It's canceled. Sin is forgiven, put away. He makes us accepted in the eyes of God. He presents us holy, unblameable, unreprovable in God's sight. He appears right now in God's presence for us. And he will appear one day without sin. Now let me ask you this question. Who is your priest? Who represents you before God? Where does he minister? On this earth, in a building down here, or in heaven itself? What's his sacrifice? Now those are three. Who is your priest? Where does he minister? What's his sacrifice? It better be Christ and his blood in heaven. Now we'll be on the air at 10 o'clock, 10 a.m. every Sunday. For 8 years we've been on at 11 o'clock. Now we're on at 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock, remember that. If you want this sermon on tape, we have a high priest, and the one I'll preach next Sunday on a divine call and a willing response, write to me. The address will be given. Until next Lord's Day at 10 a.m., I bid you a pleasant good day.